Thank you.
Here's what I'm going to suggest. Please make yourself comfortable at the podium. You're already bringing materials. Take time to get them situated the way you like. Make adjustments to the microphone. We are looking forward to hearing arguments on this matter today. We are continuing our calendar. We have six matters on the calendar. We're now in the last half of our calendar and look forward to hearing from counsel. Before you start your remarks, if you will identify yourself for the record as well as the client that you represent, we would appreciate it.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
If it may please the court, my name is Jason Line. I'm the counsel for Glacial Plains Cooperative in this matter. What's before the court is a question of whether, when the Supreme Court directed the trial court to go back and look at the individualized circumstances surrounding this case to determine whether a reasonable time had passed such that CVEC could terminate this contract, did the court err in only looking at whether a recoupment period had run, or should it have looked overall at the entirety of the individualized circumstances, including the clearly expressed intent of both parties that their contract was to be perpetual or last for a long period of time, or at the minimum, last so long as Glacial Plains Cooperative faithfully performed under the contract.
So I read the Supreme Court's decision as certainly not stating a standard, the recoupment standard,
correct,
as a basis for determination, so we can evaluate the district court's use of that standard. But the second half of what you said, that the district court should have looked at whether this is a perpetual contract, you know, it seems to me that's been fully litigated, and the Supreme Court has issued its decision.
I agree with you that that has been decided by the Supreme Court. But what's clear in Minnesota is that you can't have unilateral termination of a contract at will where the contract provides that it will continue as long as one party performs satisfactorily.
To me, that sounds like you're re-arguing the issue that was presented to the Supreme Court and decided. They rejected the perpetual, the argument that this is a contract of perpetual duration. And in fact, they held that it could be terminated by either party after a reasonable time, upon reasonable notice. I think I have that right.
Correct. You're absolutely correct, Your Honor.
So that rule of law you're citing to me doesn't seem to fit, given the prior history in this case and the decision by our Supreme.
Well, that perpetual period of time, that's taken off the count. That's taken off out of this. But you have to go back, like we would in any other contract case in Minnesota, and look at what the intent of the parties is, and that intent is unambiguously. CVEC has never argued that it's anything other than that Glacial Plains would continue to provide grain for CVEC as long as CVEC needed that grain. What CVEC has done throughout the last few years is they've gone through this process of trying to create these artificial breaches through trying to introduce Enogen, whatnot, in order to try and create a breach. The reason they've done this is they understand that as long as Glacial Plains is faithfully performing, they don't have a reason to get out of this. That reasonable time that they agreed that they would use Glacial Plains continues to exist. You have to go back and look at what the parties intended and what was meant to happen here. CVEC came into being at a time when ethanol was virtually unheard of. There was the ethanol industry wasn't there. They needed somebody to come in and invest in them. They needed somebody to take on building a grain handling facility because that was a large part of what they needed to get going in the first place. Glacial Plains agreed to do that, and in exchange, they were going to be the grain handler as long as CVEC needed them to be such. If this contract is truly terminable at will, you've got to look at it from both sides. Glacial Plains couldn't have come along 2 years afterwards and said, oh, this contract is terminable at will, therefore we're backing out of it. We're not going to do what we said we were going to do anymore. If CVEC was here making the argument, clearly that wouldn't be a reasonable time. That wasn't what the parties intended. The parties intended that Glacial Plains would continue to be the grain handler. In this case, all that the trial court looked at was, did a recoupment period run? Well, recoupment only applies to distributorship and franchise cases. Those are very different from what you have in this situation.
Well, the district court recognized that if the doctrine had been applied to distributor and franchise relationships, but then reasoned that because of the exclusive nature of this relationship, the one between Glacial Plains and Chippewa Valley, that that did bear some resemblance, and therefore recruitment makes sense. Also, you know, I just want to make sure that we get it on the table. So you made this argument about, well, if this had happened in 2 years, that wouldn't have been a reasonable time. You know, but those aren't the facts that the district court found, and not the facts in the record. I mean, this is many, many years after the start of the relationship.
Correct. And the relationship is the same, was the same 20 years afterwards as it was at the beginning. There was nothing that changed in the relationship that would cause there to need to be a termination, other than CVAC's decision, hey, we can make more money if we get rid of Glacial Plains.
Well, what do we do with the Supreme Court's reasonable time has passed qualifier?
I think you look at, like you would in any contract where you don't have a period of time, I think you go back and you look at the extrinsic evidence, you look at what the parties themselves intended to happen, and your measure of what that reasonable time has to be measured by what the parties themselves intended. I don't think, you know, the Supreme Court tells us that there's no magic word requirement in Minnesota, but then they say, well, here's this one word in the contract that the trial court, the Court of Appeals, and even the Supreme Court said certainly looks to us to be a perpetual contract.
What is reasonable time? Since the Supreme Court's rejected the notion of perpetual contract, how long is necessary before we reach the reasonable time threshold?
The amount of time that the parties intended. I think that's the amount of time that is reasonable.
Well, that's not what the Supreme Court said. It was a reasonable time. It's terminable at will. The Supreme Court said that's what the parties intended, that it's terminable at will with notice after a reasonable time.
They said that it after a reasonable time. This is maybe a semantical game, but they said that after a reasonable time has passed, then the contract can be terminated at will. And whether a reasonable time has passed is based on the facts and circumstances. Here, what the facts and circumstances are is that Glacial Plains, first of all, CVAC and Glacial Plains intended to always be bound to this until Glacial Plains didn't perform.
If that's so, then the Supreme Court did not really mean terminable at will, but terminable for cause.
They meant...
You're not correct.
They meant that you would look at... I don't think that's correct, Your Honor.
What's the language in the Supreme Court's decision that would support that view, that that's not what you would look at?
The Supreme Court says we must next consider the appropriate method to determine whether a reasonable time has passed such that a contract of indefinite duration may be terminated at will with reasonable notice. So what you have to look at is you look at whether a reasonable time has passed. We would argue that you look at the intent of the parties, all of the extrinsic evidence that you would normally bring in when looking at an ambiguous contract. You look at that. There may be some other fact circumstance that would come up. Let's say...
But it sounds like you're... And maybe correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm misinterpreting your argument. You're really arguing that there is no reasonable time that could ever happen unless there's some event that occurs. It's not really about time. It's based upon some event or some failure of either party.
There could be a change in the industry. That's what CVAC was trying to do when it tried to introduce this Enogen and tried to show here's something that Glacial Plains can't handle anymore. That would be a situation where you'd look at the facts and circumstances at that time and decide, well, has the industry changed such that it's now reasonable to allow them to terminate at will, even though they can still perform all of the things that they agreed to perform? You have to look at the individualized circumstances of the case. And what those may be, like I say, I think that's what CVAC was trying to do with this Enogen gambit that they tried to pull, was they were trying to make a situation where Glacial Plains couldn't, and so then they had a reason to say, okay, we can terminate this because you can't fulfill our...
Here's the hook. You keep referring to reason to terminate as opposed to reasonable time. And those two, to me, seem to be inconsistent. They're reaching a different, separate issues.
If Glacial Plains...
Let me put it this more directly. Is there a difference in your, from your perspective, between reasonable cause and reasonable time?
They are different. A cause would have to be some sort of breach. Cause would be, it would be a breach of some sort.
Reasonable circumstance, not cause. I'm not suggesting fault. Reasonable circumstance. There's a difference between reasonable circumstance and reasonable time. Or are you merging the two?
I'm not intentionally merging the two, but I can see the concern. The reasonable time,
intentional or not, is that the effect of your argument?
I don't believe so, no.
Can there be a reasonable time if there's not been a breach?
If the facts and circumstances are there that a reasonable time has passed, then yes.
So your argument, a reasonable time may have passed even though both sides are in compliance.
It could, that could be the case, yes. That's why the court said, look at the circumstances, because you have to.
Why isn't the amount of time reasonable here?
Because of what the intent of the parties was to continue to use Glacial Plains. I mean, they say that in their contract, that they intend to use Glacial Plains as an exclusive.
The Supreme Court saying that this was a contract that could be terminated at will.
After a reasonable time has passed.
Okay, so why isn't there a reasonable amount of time in this case? Or why hasn't there been a reasonable amount
of time? There hasn't been a reasonable amount of time that's passed because you look at what was Glacial Plains trying to do. They were making an investment, and they were looking at what's the return on this investment going to be. The return on this investment is going to be that we are going to be the grain handler for CVAC as long as we are complying with all the...
It seems to me that you have one argument and you just keep restating it in different contexts, because what you're saying now is, well, as long as Glacial Plains is performing its obligations under the contract, we can't terminate the contract.
Well, there could come a point at some point where the investment that Glacial Plains made, that they would feel that there could be a point that it's reasonable to say that their investment has been fully realized.
But isn't that exactly what the district court said?
The district court said
Glacial has recouped its investment and made a nice profit. It's a reasonable time to end this relationship.
But that's not what we do in any other type of investment. We look at what's intended and how long is that intended to last. And the investment here was made, it was intended to continue to have a return for a long period of time.
That was the will. You're saying that intent essentially was the will of the parties at the time.
Unambiguously.
But when the Supreme Court says it's terminable at will, your argument seems to assume that neither party can change its will. That you're stuck with whatever your will was at the time you crafted the agreement.
As long as the circumstances between the parties, as long as what was intended to happen stays the same, Glacial Plains provided.
What the only thing that changes is the will of the parties. You're saying that that's not enough.
No, that's not enough in any contract to suddenly say, I changed my mind, I don't want to be a part of this anymore.
I had a perspective and an intent at the beginning that at some point our side might decide that we will choose a different route. You're saying that that's foreclosed. I'm trying to get it. Are there any cases that you can point to where a contract that's terminable at will binds the parties in the way that you're suggesting these parties are bound in this contract?
I believe that the Minnesota Deli Provisions case does support that, because there's a situation where you're looking at, has the period of time that the parties intended the contract to run? And there, it's has Glacial Plains breached? And they have not. The parties...
Again, you're going back to breach as opposed to will. Are terminable at will. I'm lost as to the distinction between your for cause assertions as being an element of the term of the contract and the Supreme Court's holding that this is not that kind of a contract.
What the Supreme Court says is that, may I?
You can complete your sentence.
Thank you. What the Supreme Court says is a reasonable time has to run. A reasonable time doesn't run until a breach has occurred. At that point, the contract can continue or not continue at will.
So, okay, I think I understand your argument. You're saying a breach is required for either party to exercise termination at will.
Correct. Because after the breach, after the breach, may I?
You've already answered.
Okay. And you will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. So to the extent you want to pick it up then, you have that option. All right. Counsel for your respondent, you can go ahead.
Thank you. May I have just a second to?
Yes. No, take some time to set yourself up.
Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Ian Pitts, and I represent the respondent, Chippewa Valley Ethanol Company. Chippewa Valley respectfully requests that this court affirm the decision of the trial court, which held that the case should be dismissed and that the contract was properly terminated by Chippewa Valley. The trial court's decision was well within its discretion, and it is a discretionary determination on the trial court's part because this is a rule of equity. The trial court's decision was supported by the record and in accord with the law, and it was absolutely faithful to the decision of the Supreme Court in this same case last year. The Supreme Court posed a single question for remand, and that was whether the party's grain handling contract lasted for a reasonable time. The Supreme Court did not, it would not, tie the parties up in some sort of Gordian knot. This is really a fairly simple question, with a wealth of persuasive precedent on the issue. And there's law of the case in the form of the Supreme Court's decision that forecloses the exact argument that GPC or Glacial Plains makes here. I think that it's important to remember that the Supreme Court said two things about this contract. First, it's not perpetual. Second, at some point, after a reasonable time has passed, it will be terminable at will. Glacial Plains' view of the world is not consistent with either of those dictates of the Supreme Court. First of all, a perpetual contract, as the trial court recognized, is one that has the potential to last forever. It's not necessarily a contract that lasts until the rivers all run dry and the stars fall from the sky. It has the potential to last forever, because even a perpetual contract can be terminated upon a material breach by one party or the other. So when Glacial Plains argues, as they do here, that only their breach can bring this contract to an end, and they say exactly that on page 27 of their brief, if that's the contract, it's a perpetual contract. So there's no way to square their interpretation with what the Supreme Court has already said about this contract. The second thing, as Judge Ross touched upon, is that the Supreme Court also said that at some point this contract is going to be terminable at will. The Supreme Court didn't know when. It wanted to remand to the district court to consider that issue, because the Supreme Court, of course, isn't in the position of making decisions on issues that weren't really litigated below. So it sent it back to the trial court and said, what is a reasonable time? But it also said that at some point, this contract has to be terminable at will. Under Glacial Plains' view of the world, it's never terminable at will. Even on the day when they breach the contract, they're unable to cure the breach, everybody agrees it's time for the parties to go their separate ways. Even on that very day, Chippewa Valley will not be terminating the contract at will. They will be terminating the contract for cause. And as the Minnesota Supreme Court's decision in Cedar Strand makes clear, those are two entirely different concepts, and they're just not reconcilable in this case. The trial court here correctly held that a reasonable time had passed. The trial court largely, but not entirely, based its decision on economic circumstances, because this was an economic relationship. But I think it's important to note that the trial court did not, as Mr. Lina said at the outset of his presentation, look only at recoupment. The trial court modified the recoupment rule to fit this particular case and the individualized circumstances of it, it also looked at things beyond pure economics. It looked at the risks that the parties took in entering into the contract. It looked at even the party's intent. We asked the trial court not to look at that and said we didn't think it would be appropriate. The trial court did look at it and said, well, I can't consider an intent to have a perpetual contract because the Supreme Court's already said this is not that, but I am going to look at other extrinsic evidence of intent, despite our request that it not look at that. And then it came to the conclusion that all I can conclude is that the parties intended for this contract to last a long time and to be mutually profitable. That's a determination squarely within the trial court's discretion. And the trial court concluded this contract has been both. So I think that analysis is really unimpeachable. It's also important to note that there are five decades of persuasive precedent that support the trial court's decision to focus, to a large extent, on the concept of equitable recoupment.
All right, five decades, but not within the Minnesota published appellate case law.
That's correct, Your Honor. I would concede that. However, Minnesota courts, including the Minnesota Supreme Court in this case, have made reference to the reasonable time rule as a limitation on the terminable at will rule for indefinite duration contracts. And I think it's important to look back at where that rule came from, what its purpose was, and what the cases are that established that. In 1962.
And of course, your brief does a very good job of doing that, and we have the counter that's been presented by the appellant as well. I mean, what do you think your best case is in support of the district court's use of the recoupment analysis?
Sofa Gallery. And Sofa Gallery, of course, is one of many cases that followed the Eighth Circuit's decision in 1968 in Clausen and Sons. And I think it's important to note that before 1968, the rule in Minnesota, as articulated by the Supreme Court in 1962 in Cedar Strand, was that indefinite duration contracts are terminable at will, period. That was that. Clausen and Sons and its progeny, including Sofa Gallery, looked at this rule and said, there's one very specific inequity that we're concerned about here, and so we're going to create a narrow exception to the Minnesota Supreme Court's rule that that indefinite duration contracts are terminable at will. The situation they were concerned about was where a party invests heavily in the performance of a contract, has lots of expenses in performing it, and doesn't have a reasonable opportunity or a reasonable length of time in which to recover those investments. That was the inequity that gave rise to the very same rule that the Minnesota Supreme Court referenced in our case. So yes, it's federal law interpreting Minnesota law, but that's the law that talks about this rule. And Glacial Plains wants the rule. They want the reasonable time caveat, but they want to ignore the reason that the rule came into existence. And they want to ignore the holdings of the cases that developed the rule. And I would submit that that's just not a proper interpretation of precedent. And I think the trial court did a very good job of looking at the rule, where it came from, what its purpose was, and then considering the individualized circumstances of this case and saying that under those individualized circumstances, this contract has lasted for a reasonable time. I'd also like to touch on Glacial Plains' reasonable notice argument, because I thought it was interesting that their argument has changed from what they submitted to the district court to what they argued in their opening brief, to again what they argued in their reply brief. In the district court, the argument that Glacial Plains was making was that the contract hadn't lasted a reasonable time. Their opening brief didn't even touch on the issue of reasonable notice, didn't even mention it. In reply, they came back and they had one paragraph of undeveloped argument on reasonable notice, and what it said was, Chippewa Valley is such a bad actor, they've behaved so badly that they can't give reasonable notice. They never made the argument that they made to this court in the opening brief, which was, you can't give reasonable notice until we breach. That argument was not made below. And then they criticized the district court incorrectly for conflating the issues of reasonable notice and reasonable time. Well, the district court dealt with them separately. It addressed them in two different sections of its order. Glacial Plains conflated the two issues, but the district court didn't. Then Glacial Plains comes back again in reply when we point out that they never made this argument below, and they cite their reasonable time argument and say reasonable time and reasonable notice are just two heads of the same coin. That's a direct quote. So they're conflating them again. And they're going through these gymnastics because they never raised the argument below. And even if they had, it would not have been persuasive because the case law says what reasonable notice is. It's a reasonable time or it's sufficient notice in order to close out the business and minimize your losses. They never closed out the business. They're still operating this.
District court's analysis, as I read it, didn't really parrot the standard that you just quoted. District court focused on the length of litigation between the parties.
Mm.
And, you know, it's practical, I'll give you that, but it doesn't seem to follow the standard expressed in the case.
I think it was faithful to the standard expressed in the cases for this reason, Your Honor. The concern that was raised by Glacial Plains was whether it had enough notice, not contesting our view of the standard of what reasonable notice should be. And so the trial court was sort of responding to that and said, look at the Plainview Milk case. This says when notice is given. It's given when you file a declaratory judgment complaint asking to be let out of the contract. And so Plainview said, here we have 6 months from when the declaratory judgment action was filed to when the contract was terminated. That's reasonable notice. And so the court looked at the facts of this case and said, it's like Plainview Milk. They filed a declaratory judgment case in August of 2011. They terminated the contract in July of 2014. We've got 3 years here. That's sufficient notice.
I was curious, the only kind of formal notice that was given was notice 1 month the contract will be terminated. I mean, do you think 30 days is a reasonable amount of notice to wrap up shop, close up business?
I do, Your Honor, because again, Glacial Plains never closed up shop. They had no expenses to minimize. They continued to operate that facility as they had always intended for their own purposes. I think it's the Eighth Circuit's decision in Sofa Gallery that talks about this and says, where you don't have damages attributable to not having enough time to close your operation, you don't have a claim for unreasonable notice.
So the reasonable notice is tied solely to closing the business and not to, well, I need to get some other customers in line to make up for my lost profit that come from terminating the contract.
It's to close out business and minimize losses. So perhaps what Your Honor is talking about would fall within the minimization of losses.
But in any event, we don't have your opponent arguing 30 days was unreasonable. That I don't see that argument anywhere.
Never made that argument. And I think it was more than 30 days under the Plainview Milk case, again, because the district court was absolutely right that you don't need a document that says notice of termination. If somebody sues you to get out of a contract, that's all the notice you need. And they had 3 years from that point. So they would have had all the opportunity they ever would have needed to have reasonable notice. And again, this argument that they're making to this court about notice was never even properly raised below. I see I have a couple of minutes left, but those are the points I wanted to cover with the panel. Unless you have any further questions, I'm prepared to cede the rest of my time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
An appellant, you have 5 minutes for rebuttal if you would like.
Thank you.
CVAC never argues anything other than that, never argues that it wasn't the intent of the parties at the beginning that this contract would continue indefinitely. What we have is we've got one word in the contract.
Indefinite means there's no specific time when it comes to an end.
Correct.
That it doesn't mean forever. You seem to be arguing that it means forever.
Well, the contract says that it will continue indefinitely until The language, the until language.
Until language is the language the Supreme Court interpreted to mean terminable at will.
Correct. But then when we look at what is a reasonable time, do we just ignore what the intent of the parties is? Is what they intended to be, is that to be completely thrown out the window because that one word was in there? We know what CVEC meant. They tell us that. Gerald Russ tells us that. John Carruth. These were the chairman and vice chairman of the boards at the time. We know what they meant. We know what they intended this contract to be.
I guess I'm just hung up on this. I'm trying to get my head around your argument as being anything other than a party cannot change its will. And that seems to be completely inconsistent with the notion of terminable at will.
The party can change its will, but if it's in a contractual obligation, it has to continue to fulfill that obligation, or it has to incur some damages for the fact that it pulled out of it. In this case, that's what CVEC and Glacial Plains both intended. They intended this to go on forever. When you look at what's reasonable,
You make that argument in the face of the Supreme Court's determination that it was terminable at will. And you say the parties intended this to go on forever.
Correct.
That seems as a matter of law to have been resolved contrary to what your statement is, flatly contrary to what your statement of the circumstances of the contract is.
I believe that the Supreme Court stated that the contract is terminable at will after a reasonable period of time had run. So you have to look at what is a reasonable period of time. How do you look at what a reasonable period of time is unless you look at what the intent of the parties is, how the contract was carried out? That period of time has to run before it can be terminable at will. If there was a breach or some sort, this contract could continue on. There's nothing that prevents it from continuing on. There's language in the contract that makes Glacial Plains have to give up its facility.
If it can continue on, it must continue on?
Once there has been a breach, they could continue it on at that point.
The question is, are you arguing that if it can continue on, the contract must continue on?
No. If it continues until, by the terms of the contract, it terminates, which is a breach by Glacial Plains, at that point, the parties can decide. Because keep in mind that what's intended here is that Glacial Plains is going to be a grain handling facility for CVEC. They could take that facility over.
I'm clear. You are arguing that a breach is necessary.
Essentially, that is what the parties intended.
I understand that's your argument. I'm trying to get a sense of your overarching argument. You are arguing that a breach is necessary for the terminable at will effect to actually apply.
Because a reasonable time would not, that is one circumstance.
Yes or no? A breach is necessary for either party to exercise its rights to terminate at will.
A breach would allow for a party to exercise.
You're ducking. It's a yes or no question. Are you saying that a breach is necessary for either party to exercise the termination at will authority of the party?
No. I'm saying that that is a circumstance where then the reasonable period of time that the parties agreed to has run. There could be.
Is it necessary for a breach to have occurred for the reasonable period to have run?
No. There are other circumstances which could occur that would be a reasonable period of time that the other party could cancel.
You can conclude your statement.
In any other contract case in Minnesota, we assume that the intent of the parties is to control. We know so overwhelmingly what the intent of the parties is here. There is a problem trying to reconcile with the Supreme Court decision, but because the Supreme Court decision doesn't tell us what the reasonable period of time is, I think the Supreme Court is directing us that we go back and we look at all of the facts and circumstances to determine what the reasonable period of time is. And when you look at those facts and circumstances, when you look at what the intent is,
It tells you that this contract doesn't end now. It ends at some point in the future when truly reasonable circumstances have arisen, which may be a breach, may be something else. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Our thanks to both counsel. This matter is now submitted to the court for its decision, and we will issue a written